Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline
may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Joining us tonight, Jeffrey Ross, the meanest man in comedy. What the hell was... Good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great, man. Great to be here.
What did they mean by that? I've seen some of your roasting activities, and I kind of guess that's where that comes from, yes?
Yeah, well, those people obviously don't know me as well as you.
I'm
a heartfelt, sweet guy in real life.
No, it's true, you are. You're one of the nicest guys around. That's why whenever I see you taking off after somebody in a roast, I'm thinking, wow, is that Jeff? Really?
And we only roast the ones we love, Doc.
I guess my time will come. I saw you though roasting Pam Anderson. I almost fell out of my chair.
She during the commercial, she held me down while Courtney Love beat the crap out of me.
I think after you finished, Kimmel got up and said, "I hope Courtney's on drugs, because if she isn't, then there's really something horribly wrong. She needs to see a neurologist."
You think it's all a benefit for PETA, and you think one of those PETA people would have sedated that charging rhino, Courtney Love, at some point during the show, but they didn't.
Courtney's actually a very, very, I don't want to describe her, interesting person, kind person. I really like her. Did you get a chance to meet her?
I did get to meet her, and she was very cool.
Yeah, see.
Before the show. After the show, she was pretty lit, so who knows.
She was not in after you took off after a little bit. You have a new show, MTV, Where My Dog's At. Tell me about that. Friday night's 10 o'clock.
It's a cartoon. It stars me and Tracy Morgan. You probably know that funny guy.
Yes, I do.
And him and I play stray dogs wandering around Hollywood making fun of celebrities.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's really good, Doc. It's really fun. We get adopted by Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston in this week's episode. Who are so messed up they mistake us for their kids.
Do you get celebrities to participate with you and do the voices?
No, we let them basically embody their flaws, animate them, and then
nice.
They roast themselves right there on
nice.
MTV.
Nice. Well done. It's Friday nights, 10 o'clock, MTV, and then a new film, Patriot Act.
Which I directed in Iraq.
That's amazing.
It's sort of a, you'd really dig it, Doc. It's a backstage pass to the war. It's not political. It's about people. It's about my trip entertaining soldiers. I was sort of a reluctant participant in a USO tour right before they caught Saddam, and I started shooting the whole thing on video without a plan, just sort of almost as a comic-turned-tourist-turned-journalist.
Now, Jeff, I know you as a man that occasionally has a good bit of anxiety, right? So I can just imagine that over there in the Sunni Triangle, you were just crapping yourself, right?
Yeah, I literally got what they call Saddam's revenge.
Oh, fantastic.
I wound up in a medic tent in Al-Assad, Iraq one day.
Nice, with shigellosis. But aside from the diarrhea, I still imagine that the whole military thing got you pretty freaked out.
I was definitely a fish out of water, for sure, biting my nails, and I was the only one fetching in the whole country. I was one of the few Jews over there, too, at the time, I think.
Oh, that must have been very comfortable for you.
It's a really cool movie.
But really, it must have been wild, right?
It was an adventure. It was a life-changing experience. I used
to
be very cynical. I used to be very cynical and an eye-roller.
About military?
I didn't even know what the military was. I thought the government and the military were the same thing.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even until I met people in the military that I realized that they're volunteers, that they're doing a job that they didn't ask to do, and sort of enlightened me to the sacrifices they make. And I realized how lucky I am. I don't vote. I cheat on my taxes, you know.
And
the
4th
of July, I'll be in Mexico. I'm like a lousy patriot.
And those guys go over to get shot at.
And a lot of them are just signing up for a discount on their tuition, and now they're stuck in Iraq.
That's right. That's right.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. But they still do their job with sort of pride and diligence and stuff, right?
And believe it or not, a sense of humor, Doc.
Oh, really?
And it's hard to believe, but I did shows in front of Saddam's palaces, and
they're
the greatest crowds you've ever seen. I know you perform at colleges and stuff.
Yeah.
And these are the most awesome, most appreciative, and they need it the most. They need it the most, and I think that shows, it was a love at first sight between me and them. I love doing these USO shows.
Do you have any
Katrina in Mississippi after after the hurricane? And
any pictures of that stuff up on your website or anything?
Yeah, you can see the stuff from the film on at my MySpace page.
MySpace
Jeffrey Ross Live.
And is it Jeffrey dot Ross or underscore or what?
.com? Yeah,
you
I got
Jeffrey
a website
Ross,
too.
What's that called? Jeffrey.
Jeffrey-Ross.com. It's got some cool stuff up, too. I really appreciate that, Doc.
All right. Where's My Dogs At? Friday night, MTV, 10 p.m. Let's take some calls, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Hooked up with a girl. Said she's 19, but she's 17. Good times. All right. Here is Cindy. Cindy, what's happening there? Cindy? Oh, Anderson, help me. Cindy, you're on with Jeff Ross. All right. We'll put her on hold. Let's try this one.
Apparently, she's seen the new show.
Anthony?
Yeah.
There we go. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was talking to a girl who said she was 19 when I first met her. Hooked up with her a few times, and we're intimate, you know. I kind of liked the girl, and then she told me one night that she was 17 and not 19.
Oof.
And I was like, whoa, okay. And I'm 23.
Do you want to define hooked up a few times?
First time, a couple of times, just like making out, you know, and then I got to the point where we're more closer and more intimate, like, sexually. We had sex a few times, and
you
then
you could have just got right to that. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't need to know about the hand holding and the French kissing. I mean, you had sex with a 17-year-old.
No, seriously, he likes her.
No, I know he liked her, but she's 17, and you're calling from Pennsylvania. I don't know what the laws are like there, but I'm imagining they wouldn't look too kindly upon this. Do you know what the age of consent there is?
I was always kind of confused. I was like, I think it's 17 or maybe 18.
It changes. You know, it's funny. It changes almost every year in some states. California changes a lot, although it's been the same for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
In California, it's 18, but if you're within 3 years of one of them, it's okay, sort of. And, you know, there's a lot of... The idea here is that under 18, it's not good for the young person to be with an adult. Your priorities are different. But now here we are. You're already into this thing. Do you guys really like each other?
Well, I think it's kind of a situation where she likes me more than I like her, but that's always the way I've been. You know, it takes me a long time to like someone, I guess. I never really give anyone a chance or whatever it is, but I do like her. She's a nice girl, but when she told me that, I realized, you know, potential trouble that can get me in, or just not even that. I kind of felt like... I was being, you know, manipulative towards her, maybe.
Do you know her family?
No. Well, I know her brother and her sister a little bit. I just met them, but I think she's afraid to, like, introduce me to her parents because of the age difference.
Jeff, what do you think?
You shouldn't meet your dates at Gymboree, pal. That's a bad sign.
Right, it's a bad plan.
You got to hang out with adults, man.
Yeah, I think he's got to end this way. He doesn't sound like he's that into it. Already it sounds like she's in trouble. She's in deeper than he is, and he's sort of, whatever, and having sex with a 17-year-old. Well, I had sex at least. You know, it's just, come on. I think this isn't going to be good for her if he sticks with it. Now, maybe she's 18 in short order. Maybe they can sort of hang out until she's 18 or try again when she's 18. But even then, I'm not sure that this is the right guy for her.
If it's true love, you'll meet up again next year.
Amber.
Oh,
hey, Amber, what's happening?
Hi. Just first wanted to say I absolutely love your show, and I've been a long time listening.
Cool.
Okay, my question is, it feels like it sort of coincides with my mental health, but I was wondering why at particular times during the month, it might be when I'm ovulating or right before my cycle, that penetration starts feeling uncomfortable or... slightly painful.
Is your boyfriend got an anatomic issue? I mean, is there, you know, a size issue?
Oh, no, I'm in a lesbian relationship, so it's like fingers penetration or...
By the way, how dare I assume there's a penis involved with this? Excuse me, I'm very sorry.
No,
I'm very sorry.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys inserting fomites, as we say in my business? Objects?
No, well... besides, like, attachments to strap-ons, nothing.
No, except for that. I mean, I was thinking more.
Nothing, like, everything is, like, run-of-the-mill. We got just fingers and strap-on attachments.
Oh, just the attachments. And, of course, there's an endless array, I imagine.
You know, we have a whole, like, penis-shaped
Do any of these said attachments hurt more than others?
No, it can even be just with fingers, because that's what we do mostly. And I don't know, it feels, I mean, it could be the exact same motion that we've done, like, a week prior, and it'll hurt instead of being, like, entirely pleasurable.
Well, I don't know what that is, per se, because that shouldn't really be... I'm going to make some guesses. Deep penetration, which is you're not what you're describing. You're describing sort of putting anything inside, so just at the point of penetration is what hurts. If it's deep penetration, that typically is ovarian cysts or maybe just a recent release of an ovary, of an egg, just like you said, around the time of ovulation, or endometriosis, or even sometimes cervical or tubal infections. That can do that. But you're not describing that. You're describing just when something is inserted right at the point of insertion, it hurts. And most commonly, that's a spasm of the muscles in that area. But that wouldn't change based on the time of the month. The second most common thing, hold on, would be some side effect like the birth control pill. There's excess progesterone, like the Depo-Provera shot, causes a lot of irritation in the vagina. So women get that. But then that persists also throughout the cycle. So what would be periodically, I can't think of really anything.
Could it be nerves, Doc?
Well, that's the most common thing, is anxiety.
Hmm.
Is that possible, Amber?
No. I mean, we're really comfortable with each other. It's just, like, it could be, like, not painful or uncomfortable to where I definitely, like, I want to stop right away. It's
of course
something
not.
That I try to sort of sit through and see if it'll end so that we can very well go on with what we were doing.
I don't have an answer, Amber. I really don't. When was the last time you had a pap smear?
About 6 months ago.
And everything was okay?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of agree with Jeff. The most common thing is anxiety, that if you've got a problem with the muscular spasm down there. And, again, the hormonal things that cause those changes, I guess there's a time during the month when you can have an excess progesterone, so just after ovulation. And maybe you're very, very sensitive to that, and maybe that's just what's doing it for you. I suppose that's possible. This now
you could try a shoehorn.
Shoehorn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Head down a stride right, pick up a shoehorn, stretch it out.
Stride right shoehorn, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Natalie.
Hello.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, I had a question for you.
You don't shop for your shoes at Stride Right by any chance, do you?
It's the only company I can think of.
Stride Right.
I'm picturing an old school shoehorn, you know?
Yeah, that'd be the place to get it, I imagine. Woo. Okay, Natalie, what's your question?
I've been with my fiancé for about 4 years now, and pretty much the whole time that we've been together, while we're intimate, he doesn't kiss. We don't kiss at all.
During sex, you're talking about?
Correct.
Does he kiss you outside of that action?
Not really.
Ooh, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
We like, he'll give me pecks here and there, but he won't, like, give me, like, a real passionate kiss during sex, and that really bugs me. And he doesn't make any noises when we have sex, really, except until he climaxes at the end. That's about it. It's just kind of really quiet, and there's no kissing, and it's just weird.
And you brought this up with him?
I have. He's just like, I don't know. I'm just busy.
Busy.
He doesn't like to kiss.
Focused.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to know what to make of that. I've definitely heard of that, and I don't really know what it means. Some people just don't like the feeling of all that, and I don't know that you can necessarily conclude anything about... I've never seen any good evidence that you can conclude anything about who they are or their interpersonal experiences just based on preferences like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're really talking about preference. He prefers to be quiet, feels uncomfortable if he makes a lot of noise. Kissing feels weird to him or uncomfortable or gross or whatever. I don't know what to make of that except to say, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with him or the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the same thing with oral sex. He won't do oral.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a funny question. Is he not very adventuresome when it comes to his dietary choices? Well, he like won't eat, you know, won't eat new things, won't eat oysters, that kind of thing.
He tries a lot of different things, but he won't try things like that.
Yeah, because I've noticed those guys tend to be like peanut butter and jelly guys too.
Mm-hmm.
they like hot dogs, peanut butter and jelly, and spaghetti, you know, SpaghettiOs, and that's it. Is that kind of him?
Yeah, pretty much. He'll basically.
Yeah, they're all like butters from South Park, every single one of them.
Start them slow on some shrimp, and then maybe they'll be eating some poochie after
that. And again, it's hard to make anything of that, except that's sort of his preference. He's just one of these guys that, you know, things that maybe, you know, maybe one day we'll understand that they experience things differently, you know, their taste of their tongue or who knows what. It just overwhelms them. They can't stand it, and, you know, it's just no good. So, we'll see. Whoops, that was Natalie, of course. Now, let's go to Brooke. Brooke, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey there.
Hi. Well, see, my question is, I'm always anxious or, like, depressed, and I'm on medication. It's just, I don't know what's going on, you know?
Jeff?
Yeah.
She needs a little Where Are My Dogs At on MTV, 10 o'clock. Cheer you up, cheer you up. Lots of laughs.
Well, I just, like, I've been to doctors and everything. I'm just, like, trying to be happy. Like, it's kind of depressing with my boyfriend and everything, you know?
What does that mean?
Like, I don't know. Like, when we're together and stuff, like, I try to be happy, but sometimes I'll get, like, really depressed.
You confuse me. Is your boyfriend causing you to be depressed?
No.
Or you have trouble?
He tried to help.
And you still are depressed. Is there depression in your family?
I don't know. Like, well, I don't think so.
Hang on a second. Have you seen a psychiatrist?
Yeah.
And what did the psychiatrist say?
They told me I had anxiety issues and gave me Zoloft. That was about it.
No. That's not what they told you. They didn't kind of go, I'm not sure. They said, here's what you're dealing with. You didn't listen to them, and you should have asked more questions. But they, I'm certain, gave you a diagnosis and a treatment plan. Maybe you got to go back there and ask exactly what is this I'm dealing with? What should I expect? How long is this going to last?
Well,
what if the Zoloft doesn't work? How long will I need to take the Zoloft? Write all those questions down before you go in, and then write down what the answers are so you don't sort of seem so bewildered by this condition you have, which is probably depression.
Yeah, well, like, another issue is, like, when I try to talk to my mom about it, like, she won't listen.
Well, at least they took you to a doctor, right?
Well, yeah.
All right. Then if your mom won't listen...
But she won't take me again.
Why?
She says that it's not an excuse or whatever, that I'm fine.
Then ask her, call that doctor, ask her to come back in with you to get an explanation also so she can understand what this is and how you're likely to have to deal with and how long it's going to last and what treatment's going to be like. Because you clearly haven't responded to treatment, right?
Right.
Brooke?
Yes.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
I said right.
Right. So it's time to go back in there. Look, I don't want to repeat myself over and over and over again. That's just the way it is. You got to go back in there, find out what's going on. This anxiety and depression are very common in 15-year-olds. Some of it is normal. Some of it is just the anxiety of dealing with social life as a 15-year-old. Some of it is esteem issues related to trauma in childhood or dysfunctional family systems. Some of it is, you know, what your peers do to you. Some of it is just your biology. Some people just are more anxious. Some people are more depressed. And you need to find out what it is that you need to work on and what you can expect from treatment. Caroline.
Hi.
Hey there.
I was wondering if you could get the HPV vaccine from your pediatrician.
You should be able to get it from any doctors, but they may not have it supplied. Hey, Jeff. Jeff Ross in here with the studio with us tonight. MTV, Where Are My Dogs At? Friday night, 10 o'clock. Jeff, just this week, a vaccine was approved and sent out for distribution for the human papillomavirus, the particular ones that the four subtypes that cause cervical cancer. This is a huge deal. Everybody, basically, Jeff, do you have a boyfriend? Excuse me, do you have a wife or a girlfriend? Or
I have a girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Does she, how can I ask this? I don't want you to have to divulge anything, but if you ever are, if she ever develops HPV, or if she's ever had an abnormal pap, or both of you for that matter, whether you do or don't, everyone should get this vaccine. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that people not get it. The problem is it's not yet been approved by insurances or Medicare. Cost about $100-something a vaccine. You have to get three of them. You get one at point A 2 months later and then 6 months after the first initial vaccine. And it confers lifelong immunity against the wart viruses that cause cervical cancer. So really the only thing that the virus is ever going to do from now on, if everyone gets this vaccine, is cause warts, which are kind of unpleasant and you want to control them and they're a pain in the ass. But the fact is you're not going to get cancer because that's going to be controlled. Got it?
That's a breakthrough.
It's a huge deal. It's the biggest thing since I've been practicing medicine in terms of sexual transmitted disease. It's a gigantic deal, and it needs to be highly, highly publicized. What's your question, Caroline?
If I call my doctor, will he be able to get the vaccine in stock?
I would think so. Or at least they could send you to a pharmacy. You could find a pharmacy. Pharmacies that are associated with hospitals should be able to stock this thing. And there is a mandate coming out to basically have every 12-year-old vaccinated with this thing. So the pediatricians should be quite aware of it and should be on top of it. And I would certainly ask them to contact their representative. It's actually produced by Merck, the company Merck, to get information if he or she has any questions about it. But they should be all over it. So maybe if you're the first person to call about it, you'll get it going in your community. That'd be great. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Drew. I love you.
Okay. Love you, too. Thank you for taking care of things.
Bye.
And I'm watching out for people's health in Tampa. All right, this is Michelle.
You're so
Michelle, cool. What's going on? Michelle? Oh, we lost Michelle.
Hey, Doc, well, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir. What's up?
You know, that woman who was diagnosed by a shrink as depressed and she didn't really remember everything he said.
Yeah.
Did doctors, not everybody's a good listener, do doctors ever put stuff in writing and give you sort of a cheat sheet to go home with?
We do. It almost feels like cheating. It feels sort of empty and impersonal to hand somebody a sheet. I will, particularly with older patients, write stuff down, but magically people lose that or they misinterpret what you write down. So my assumption is I repeat and I repeat and I repeat until patients can repeat stuff back to me. I ask them to repeat it back. And then I still assume they only got about 20% of it. Right. So the important thing is to get people back in. Unfortunately, doctors are in a position now where we do not have the time to do what we want to do, which is take proper care of people. It's such a crazy challenge and an awful system that it never... there's never enough time to do it properly. And so there's that bottom line that's the biggest issue in all of this, is that, yes, at a certain point we have to just move along because there's very ill people we got to take care of, and that has a priority, unfortunately. It's not fun.
Interesting.
Yeah. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Ross in here on Loveline. MTV, Where Are My Dogs At? Friday night, 10 o'clock, he and Tracy Morgan. Also looked out for the DVD on July 11th that's coming out, Patriot Act, where you can see... So these words I never thought would come out of my mouth. Jeff Ross in the Sunni Triangle. Those are the words I did not think would ever come out of my mouth. But something that must be seen, must be beheld to be appreciated. We'll be right back.
Make new friends tonight by sending a text message with the word Loveline in it to 55463. That's Loveline Mobile, the newest, freshest way to meet new people.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Jeff Ross in the studio with us. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeff Ross's new show is on MTV. It's called Where Are My Dogs At? 10 o'clock Friday night. He and Tracy Morgan making fun of celebrities. What's better than that?
And the best part is, who can be mad at a little lost dog? Right? My whole thing is I'm lost from my owner in New Jersey. I just want to get home, and I wander Hollywood trying to find a ride.
What kind of dog?
A beagle. A little ugly beagle.
No, how ugly do beagles get? Come on, they're cute even when they're ugly.
But he looks a lot like me, Doc.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Now tell me how the meanest man in comedy came about. What the hell?
I guess it was just from making fun of people at the roasts. You know, it's an honor to be dishonored by me, that they tell me. So,
Go ahead.
I roasted Jerry Lewis last... I gave Jerry Lewis a heart attack the other day.
Well, that was you when he had the heart attack?
I roasted him Friday night, and then Saturday on his way home, he had a heart attack.
Fantastic. Those steroids he's on, that accelerates coronary disease. Good times. Was there a favorite moment? Is there anything that sort of jumps out? I know it's hard to, when somebody asks questions like that, but is there any kind of favorite moment you had, any of these roasts?
There was a one time where Penny Marshall started heckling me, and I thought she was going to throw a punch at me once. I was roasting Rob Reiner, and I said, how do you even make fun of a guy that married Penny Marshall?
Oh.
What was your wedding song? How much is that doggy in the window?
Oh.
And she's not a good sport. Who knew?
Oh.
It's a roast.
You ever meet her brother?
Gary Marshall?
Yeah.
I seen him around the Playboy Mansion. Running around in silk pajamas. Nice guy.
Nicest man anywhere. I mean, just the greatest guy. I played baseball with him one day, and he came up and wanted to go on Loveline. All he could talk about was helping kids, and, he has that way of talking.
I've seen him in action trying to get some action, so.
Oh, really? Oh, so
I can't speak.
You've been soiled. His image has been soiled. Okay, Eric, what's happening, buddy?
Oh, yeah. I just heard this article on the radio. They were talking about this, that I guess if a woman performs fellatio 1 to 2 times a week and swallows the semen, it reduces her chances of getting breast cancer by like 40% or something like that.
Where, please. On one hand, I'm exhilarated. On the other, I'm outraged. Where was that published? So people are advocating crap on the radio that is indeed just total crap and it's going to urge people to manipulate women to do things they may or may not want to do in the name of some crappy, screwy science, bad science. Where was that published?
It was 106.7, KBPI.
No, where was it published? What were they quoting from? Spin Magazine?
Oh, I guess they said they looked it up on CNN.com.
No, please. All right, well, I'm going to look it up. We're going to see where that was published. CNN.com? Seriously?
Seriously, they said it was from CNN.com. They said that they did...
How would that even... Listen, look at the research. Don't believe what people talk about in the media. Look at the research yourself. You can get on the web now and check it out. I know of absolutely nothing that can be gained other than infection from that act. It's a couple, 2 calories of mucus, basically, is what it is. And what could it possibly do to protect somebody against breast cancer? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, they said it was something about the proteins or something.
Oh, please. There's barely anything in there. I'm going to look it up. I'm looking it up. It doesn't even come up on CNN.com, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so where else might it be?
It's right there on that website that said Rod Stewart had semen in his stomach and they had to pump it.
I'm going to look up breast cancer. Breast cancer. Are you still there?
Yeah, it was KBPI. 107.
Stop it. I'm just wondering where it was published, not who said it on what radio station, where it was published. You're not going to help me. Let's talk to somebody else. This is Rachel. Rachel?
Hello?
What's happening?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say, Dr. Jude, that I totally love you. You're awesome. I wish you were my dad.
Oh, that's very kind.
Anyway, my question is, me and my boyfriend have sex. Like, he likes to role play, and he likes to role play that, like, he's my dad and I'm his daughter.
Uh-oh.
And it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, like, what that
You just
about.
Did that with Drew, though.
I'm really freaked out.
The weird thing is, she's my daughter, Drew. That's the weird
Please, no. He wants to be... Tell me again exactly how the role... What do you do and how that works and...
Well, like, he'll be, like, you know, acting like he's my dad. And he'll be like, oh, have you been a good girl? Or, like, you know, do you need a spanking and stuff? I'm like...
Ooh, that's what he's into.
It kind of freaks me out.
Yeah. Oh, here's... I read that... Wait, I'm online now. I read that it prevents... And here's the article. I read that it prevents breast cancer. Here's the article. I'm looking it up. You get nothing. All right, anyway. I don't know what that means. Is everything else okay in the relationship?
Yeah. I mean, he's a good guy. I like him a lot, so...
And does this kind of... Have you asked him what he gets out of this?
Yeah, he just says that, like, you know, he thinks it's fun, just like any other role play, but it's, like, it keeps coming up over and over again, and, like, I've tried to ask him, you know, if there's anything, like, in his past that happened or whatever, but he, like, won't give me a straight answer.
I don't know. I did, by the way, find this study. It's a North Carolina State University study, reducing breast cancer by 40%. I've got it, supposedly. I'm going to find that study. I don't know what it is, Rachel. I'm sorry. I don't know what he's, you know, it bothers you. If you want him to stop, tell him to stop. I mean, like with any, you know, with any fetishistic kinds of behaviors, one of the things that tends to happen is it pulls people out of the relationship. It puts the focus on the fetish and away from the intimacy. And mm-hmm. If that's bugging you, don't do it. Tell him no. And if he won't behave himself, then it's no sex. You've got all the cards. You control what he does. You know, believe me, he'll fall right in line after that, okay?
Okay. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Rachel.
This is a bogus call.
All right. Good. Well, thanks for that. I'm actually good because I couldn't make sense of it.
At least make up something really hot if you're gonna bogus call us.
I know. So what are you gonna do?
Jim, I wish you were my dad. By the way, my boyfriend thinks I'm his dad. It's just ridiculous.
I know. Dan, what's happening?
How's it going?
Good. What's up?
My girlfriend and I were, you know, pretty intimate as far as sex goes. We do everything. And she complains that when I ejaculate, when she's giving me oral sex, that it tastes very bitter. I was wondering if there was anything that I could do to fix that.
Not really. You know, it's hard to know what causes it. And people have speculated about that forever, that you eat more fruit and you can, you know, eat pineapple juice and all this craziness or pineapple yogurt. Here's the deal. It's very hard to change what comes out of your body. You can eat, you can eat marshmallows and strawberries all day long. your Duke is still going to be your Duke. You know what I mean? What comes out is going to come out, and that's that. Now, really bad smell. It really can only be worse. It can't get better. And so worse is infection, or if things have been sitting in the tubes too long, bacteria can grow in there and that kind of thing. But making it better, other than just sort of keeping the tubes clean, that's about all you can do. And making sure that you don't, if you have any symptomatologies of pain or irritation when you urinate or ejaculate, you have that treated. Right, Jeff?
My stuff tastes like a strawberry Yoo-Hoo.
Of course, but
just
it's
naturally.
It's always that way. You can't eat anything to make it any different. Do you have any questions, Jeff? Any medical questions? You always have a few.
I'm going to think of one in a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to get my guts up first.
Okay.
I have a weird body, Doc.
This is... Hey, Sarah, what's happening?
Hi. I had a question. I've been producing for, the past week, and
you've been producing?
Yes. I went to go test my hormone, my prolactin hormone, because the doctor said that it might be too high. And also, the thing is that I was in the ortho patch for 3 months. And I had to, take it off because it was giving me a rash. And it was, making me bleed and stuff. So I had to take it off. And I don't know if that might be the cause for me, that the hormone might be changing or something, or why am I producing milk.
Are you on any... I'm producing. Any other medication you're taking?
No.
Well, breast milk production, in your age, most commonly, pregnancy. So, any chance you're pregnant?
No, because I just menstruated not too long ago.
That doesn't matter. You need to get a pregnancy test, okay? And you need to take another one in a couple weeks, because the 1, 2, 3, and 4th most common cause of pregnancy in your age, of breast milk production in your age is pregnancy. So that needs to be carefully ruled out. The next most common thing would really be medication, then thyroid conditions, prolactin-secreting tumors, and then back to medications, really. So yes, your prolactin level needs to be checked. But even if it's up, you don't take any illicit drugs or anything, do you?
No.
Take any painkillers or heroin or anything like that?
No.
Okay. And even if your prolactin is up, it can still be medication doing it. So it's possible the birth control pill did that. It's possible, but not very likely. So this needs to be worked up very, very carefully. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you go.
All right.
I found the study, Jeff.
Let's hear it, Doc.
It's here. It's on CNN.com. That guy was right. This is a Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, who is not involved in the research because it was done at North Carolina State University. It's starting to suggest that there could be a link. 15,000 women suspected of having formed regular fellatio and swallowed the fluid over the past 10 years. Researchers found that actually performing the act regularly 1 to 2 times a week had a lower occurrence of breast cancer than those who has not. There was no increased risk, however, for those who did not perform regularly. So lower risk. Now, so they're trying to make, there could be many, many other things about women who do that twice a week besides the fact that they're doing that twice a week that could cause the reduced risk of breast cancer. You understand what I'm saying? They're making a causational association. At this point, it's just an observation. And by the way, a bizarre observation of that. Let me read what they said from Johns Hopkins. I think it removes the last shade of doubt that fellatio is actually a healthy act. Blah, blah. I'm surprised by these findings, but I'm also excited that research may have discovered a relatively easy way to lower... No, please. This is preliminary, everybody. Preliminary. This needs to be looked at much more carefully. I suspect what they're going to find... Here, let me read them again. There's definitely ground for more research. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. This is like out of a... This seriously is like out of a comedy magazine. Let me read you this. This will fertile ground, no pun intended, for research. Many have stepped forward to volunteer for related research. It's like, what? Oh, my God. This has got to be a joke from somewhere.
Elton John will never get breast cancer. That's the finding at the end.
Well done. Well said.
Hey,
Samantha. What?
Maybe it's an oral fixation thing. You know, instead of having a cigarette in your mouth, you have a penis in your mouth.
Ooh,
and you don't get cancer.
I like that.
That's just
great.
That's
good thinking. That's the kind of thinking we need for medical research. Samantha.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. My boyfriend and I were having sex, and I bit his nipple, and a milk-like substance came out.
Jeez.
Wow.
Is he on medication?
Yes.
What's he taking?
He was on Seroquel for a long time.
Seroquel can definitely do it. And we, you know, we just had that conversation with the girl, but the same thing is true of the boys. The only difference being pregnancy is not on the list of potential causes. Only difference.
Okay, so is that normal? I mean,
it's not normal. It's from medication. And as I just explained to the last call, I guess it was Sarah, that he needs a prolactin level check because even though it's undoubtedly the medication causing it, sometimes it can sort of bring to the surface or bring out a pre-existing prolactin-secreting tumor. It can make it more evident by creating very high levels of with the hormone that causes breast milk production. Let's take a break, Jeff. I'm exhausted. I got to read this article more carefully about fellatio and swallowing and breast cancer. I can't. I've got to find. I need. This is CNN. I really want to find the original document to know if
it
I'm going to believe this.
It would be the greatest thing in the world for guys if that was true.
Guys are going to have. I'm glad our caller called this up and brought this out because I'm telling you, men are going to be armed with this now, and I want women to understand what it is and what it means and what it doesn't mean.
We'll have a parade. It'll be a parade for that.
Oh, God, it's going to be on all the media for the next God knows how long. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. The other voice you hear is Jeffrey Ross. The show is 10 p.m. MTV, Friday night. Where my dog at? And we'll be right back. All right, buddy, it's Loveline, and serves me right to try to read an article while broadcasting. I've read this article now more carefully, and it is clearly a hoax. Uh-huh. And apparently we've had some calls also confirming this. There is no, it is comedy. Remember I said it sounds like comedy? Yeah. When you read it, it is comedy. And
That's a shame.
There are several people named, but none of the specific researchers. Yeah, A.J. Kramer is one of the doctors that supposedly did this. Yeah. And whatever. It's just all joke names. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And so and when you try to link on to any of the things that that refer the research, it's all, you know, joke sites and that kind of thing. So,
damn.
But it's presented in such a way as though it were the real thing. And clearly somebody got wind of it. But it doesn't make any sense medically whatsoever. And again, as I was outraged when I first heard about this, I had every reason to be, because men will love to use this as a way to manipulate, another way to manipulate women.
However, I did sort of make sense, right?
You made sense of it.
The time that you spend with a thing in your mouth, you don't have a cigarette in your mouth, so it does keep you from prevent cancer.
Well, more importantly, you were just thinking outside the box in terms of what else it could be about this behavior that improved your overall health. I mean, that was the way to think about it. Although, this whole thing is completely bogus. The scary thing is, though, it links in through CNN, and that's kind of how I got through to it, and that's pathetic. Petunia.
Hi.
A caller who goes by Petunia. What's happening?
Not much. Your screener gave me that name. Anyhow,
nice.
I was just curious on if you were to contract chlamydia, how long do you have to have the STD before you become infertile?
Hard to say. I mean, the initial infection could be enough to cause a dysfunction of the little cells that move the egg along the tube down towards the uterus. Even just a single infection lasts a few days. Typically, though, I mean, you can get bad pelvic inflammatory disease, and any episode like that can cause problems with fertility. More typically, though, it's the chlamydia that sits around and smolders for months or years that causes the more serious problems. It's the leading cause of infertility in this country. So, usually, yeah, if you get it cleared up in a few days before the infection is severe, you're okay. But if it sits around very long at all or it causes a more exuberant reaction, you could get into trouble. You ever had a girlfriend or know anybody with chlamydia, Jeff?
Come on, Doc. I'm eating.
I'm just saying. Let's try this. Let me make you happy with this call. Here's Jamie.
Hi.
Jamie, you have a question for Jeff.
Okay. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 3 years. Just recently, a couple months ago, he wanted to have a threesome, and so we had a threesome with one of his close girlfriends that he's known forever.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm worried that close girlfriend may have been a little closer than you imagined.
Hmm. Well, they've been friends for, like, family.
I'm just saying.
But the point is that I'm starting to have feelings for her, and I don't know, like, how to tell my boyfriend. I've been talking to her, like, on the side, and...
Wow.
I mean, our relationship, me and my boyfriend, like, are fine, you know? But after doing this, I kind of started to have feelings for this girl, and I don't know, how to tell him, and I don't know how to face that.
Jeff, what are we going to do here?
It sounds good. I would have a little fun. Life is short. This is so bad.
It's going to ruin the relationship with her boyfriend, though.
Yeah, but it'll be the time of her life. She'll be, like, going with the girl and the guy, her boyfriend and his ex-girlfriend.
It's
the greatest
girlfriend, but, I mean, we've been together for 3 years, and things are great. It's just, I don't know what he would say if he knew that we've been talking and that, like, I just have feelings for I don't think he'd be too happy about that. Regardless
right.
of what they were in the past, he's kind of the type of guy, you know, that's, like, in control, and, you know, I don't think he'd be very happy about that. I don't know how to tell him.
That you're thinking about other people. Not just her, but the fact that you're wandering.
Right.
All right. There's a few things to say here. A, threesomes always end in disasters. And if it's a relationship you don't really care about, fantastic. Enjoy. So here we go. You end up with feelings you don't anticipate, A. B, if this is a true call, which I have my suspicions that it isn't, you would want to break up with your boyfriend if you are done with that relationship before you do anything else. So go ahead and break up with your boyfriend and then decide what you're going to do about this girl. And it will have nothing to do with him, will it?
I guess not.
That's right. So you break up this relationship that isn't working. And by the way, you know, there's if you actually did this, if this is true, you were kind of looking for chaos like this anyway.
I'm sorry?
I'm just saying it's the kind of chaos you were looking for by going ahead and having the threesome with him.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my idea. It was his, of course.
Yeah, of course. But still, if you were sort of looking for that kind of chaos, you got it. You're in. You've sabotaged the relationship. So, and who knows what he was looking for. He's just exploiting the situation, and that's that. So this thing was doomed already, so you might as well let it die a nice, painless death.
It went out with a bang.
So to speak, and then you're going to go ahead and decide what to do with the other girl. It's, you know, that's that. Alex.
Hey.
Hey there.
I have a quick question. Basically, I want to know some facts on yeast infections, basically. I want to know if it's transferable from the female to the male, and then say you perform oral. Will it create some sort of infection in your mouth and cause...
Hold on, let me answer those two questions before you answer too many.
All right, go ahead.
It is possible for a man to harbor it in his urethra. It is possible for a man to get a yeast infection on his skin, though typically neither of those things happen typically. Secondly, the mouth. Yes, it can be transferred to the mouth if you are on lots of antibiotics or you have some other problem with your immune system. But a normal, healthy person will not get that. It's called oral thrush in that case, and you're not going to get that. Yeast infections really are overgrowth of yeast that are already living in your mouth. So being exposed to a bunch of it from somebody else doesn't really matter. It's already there. And if your normal immune system is keeping things properly in balance, it will continue to do so.
Okay. And then does a menstrual cycle actually clean out the yeast infection?
No. How? No. It's so simple. There's 5 different choices at the pharmacy for antifungal medication creams you can use to get rid of them in a day or two.
Yeah, a day or
there's
two.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah, and then say you do have the yeast buildup in your mouth. Can you give it to the girl if you perform oral?
Same basic philosophy or theoretical framework applies, which is that the yeast in the vagina is also just usually caused by some change in the environment down there. If the environment is otherwise normal, exposing it to a bunch of yeast doesn't matter because there's always already tons of yeast living there.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
There you go. So confusing. Jeff, don't you have any physical problems? Come on. Must be something.
Well,
have you been in the Sunni Triangle, for God's sakes? You must have come back with some anxiety about something.
I couldn't drink or smoke for the whole 5 days, and I don't know if I was scared of getting shot or that I was detoxing.
Uh-oh.
What do you think?
Do you smoke? Cigarettes?
No.
Oh. No, I think you're just scared.
That's a good question I have about
what's that?
The effects of marijuana on your sex drive. To me, it makes me horny, but some people say it has the opposite effect.
It can make you less anxious, and the anxiety that normally reduces your sex drive can sort of be medicated away with the pot, let's say, and some people feel more sexual as a result. But long-term, it has a very negative effect on sex drive. People really get a shutdown. It raises raises your estrogen levels, decreases testosterone levels, decreases sperm production, changes the brain chemistry that's there, a sort of drive that drives sex is sort of dampened. So, yeah, it's not good for sex drive long-term at all.
Sorry, buddy. For the short term.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry, buddy.
Interesting.
Why don't we take a break here? The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. The voice you hear is that of Jeff Ross, the meanest man in comedy. If anybody has ever seen a roast, he is he takes the podium and takes no prisoners. Takes no prisoners. I kind of get a little nervous when he takes the podium, which is so bizarre if you know Jeff, who's one of the nicest, mildest mannered guys you ever want to meet. You can't believe it's him when he takes that podium. He writes all this stuff on his own about these people. He thinks these evil thoughts about everybody. So I live in fear when I'm around him all the time. The new show is called Where My Dog's At, MTV, Friday night, 10 o'clock. He and Tracy Morgan. Also look out for a DVD called Patriot Act coming out on July 11th. It's a film chronicle of his journeys in the Sunni Triangle. Again, words that I nearly choke on when I say because I can't imagine I'm saying them. Phone number
one. Funniest movie ever to come out of Iraq.
It is. I read that in the Times. That was the headline. Funniest movie so far about the military from Iraq. Phone number again here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jeffrey Ross, Dr. Drew, we'll be right back. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Where My Dog's At, Friday night, 10 o'clock. Jeffrey Ross, Tracy Morgan. The meanest
Stray Dogs.
Comedy. Stray Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say? What could be more fun than that?
Yeah, the Tara Reid rehab episode's a lot of fun, Doc.
Oh, my God. sketch this plot for me. I got
to
hear this.
She's quitting show business to go back to her hometown in New Jersey to dance in her parents' strip club.
Is that a real piece of history?
No, she is from Jersey, but we made the rest up.
Okay, good, okay.
And her star is exhumed from the Hollywood Walk of Fame by Governor Schwarzenegger.
Nice.
And she is given a full parade down Hollywood Boulevard to say goodbye. And her float is hijacked by Dr. Phil, who then takes her to rehab.
where she is,
let's just say, she never comes out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have some really crazy storylines. Jimmy Fallon got crushed as the host of the MTV Movie Awards by King Kong this week.
Nice.
Bobby and Whitney coming out of a garbage dumpster, mistaking the dogs for their kids. I'm going to need bodyguards when this is all over.
That is awesome. Okay, it's 10 o'clock, MTV, with Tracy Morgan. Where My Dog's At. Jeff Ross in here. That's Alex on the line. Alex, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I got hair actually growing up my shaft up to about my circumcision line. Like, very fine, but, you know, it's still annoying.
You know, I have heard of this. They've had these calls over the years occasionally. Some guys claim that they got a lot of hair right up to, like, the head of the penis.
Yeah, I haven't got that. It's just up to about the circumcision line, but it's still enough to be annoying, you know?
Hey, weird, yeah?
Speaking of King Kong.
Right.
Yeah, thanks.
What do you do? How do you control it now?
Well, that's what I'm doing. I shave, but it makes me break out a little bit every once in a while.
You mean the ingrown hairs and stuff?
I think ingrown hairs, but maybe just even like little pimples.
Right, that's ingrown hair, basically.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if there's any permanent removal, you know?
I'm sure there is. I'm no expert in this. What I wouldn't know how to recommend is whether you should be considering electrolysis or laser, and if laser, what kind of laser. I would consult with a dermatologist. They should be up on that kind of thing.
Or a hairstylist.
Or a stylist, yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd recommend waxing so much. That sounds like about the most significant torture I could probably ever think of.
Yeah, I tried that once.
Once. Paint that story for us. I mean, what did the Asian lady say that you went to put the wax stuff on?
Oh, no, I didn't go to anybody. I got one of those little home kits.
I see. Did you yank it off yourself?
Huh?
Oh, he's got a whisker dick.
Yeah, great.
But, I mean, did you have to have somebody else do it, or could you actually do it yourself?
No, I did it myself, but it's probably one of the most painful things I've ever
God.
Seen in my entire life.
Oh, my God. And plus, the skin is so delicate. I imagine you could actually tear some of the skin off.
Well, it didn't happen, but, needless to say, it was bad.
All right. Well, again, dermatologist, that's where you go. And I'm surprised it's taken you this many years. You're 20 to get to it. But move along, Pop Private. Here's Connor.
He can masturbate with a Flobee.
Hello?
Hi, Connor. Hello. What's happening? I'm with Jeff Ross.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
All right. My question is about my girlfriend, her fetish, and my fetish.
Go ahead.
All right. She keeps wanting me to do her fetish if I do mine, and hers is freaking disgusting.
All right. Well, what's yours first before you get the disgusting one?
All right. We're just having sex, and I asked about anal. I was like, well, I really want to do this, and she keeps saying, like, fine, so I do this, and I get to, you know, go to the bathroom on you, you know, number two.
I see. So if you engage in anal sex, she brings on the mudslide.
Yeah.
At the same time?
After.
After. So it's a tit for tat, you should excuse the expression.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Jeff?
You know, I'm always up for experimenting. I think it's
really
awesome.
Well, I want to, like, convince her that it's not right. Like, it's not good for you. Like, it's gross for the other person.
But wait a minute. I'm a little confused here. Let me play devil's advocate for a second, because you're suggesting you'd like to put a part of your body in with the goods, but as soon as the goods come out of the body, then it's no good?
If it goes on you, like, on my chest. Like,
oh, she wants...
I want to convince her that it gives you, like, a rash or, like, hives or something so I can, like, you know...
Well, I would at least tell her that the oral fecal route of disease transmission worldwide is one of the most significant. There's lots of different things, infectious disease you can get that way. But then I would tell you the same damn thing. And not only that, but you can add STDs to your list
that
she can't...
What if I wear a condom, though? A condom.
Yeah. Well, what if she says, oh, just put a latex, you know, latex sheet on your chest. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
She could use this. She could use the same logic on you. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I think... Point being, I think she's saying this to scare you off.
Well, she's serious. No joke. She's serious.
What do you think, Jeff?
You know what? It's weird. I don't know about the health risks. That's your department, Doc. But, like, hey, man, you know, you just go out there and do what she wants just once. Just completely throw yourself into whatever she wants, and then she'll get bored of it. She just wants you. She just wants to control you.
I don't know, Jeff. That's not the way sexual stuff tends to go. Once you open those doors, people find that spot and they want to stay there.
Hmm.
Sorry to say.
Maybe I'll be really grossed out and be like, "Oh no."
I think we're all grossed out.
Yeah, I think we're. Yeah, we don't know where to go with this call.
I have to go to the bathroom.
This is a crystal. I'd say no to the entire transaction, old Connor. The entire thing, from your idea to hers, is put a hex on the whole deal, a pox on it, okay? What's up, Crystal?
Hi. Me and my boyfriend, I can only get off if, like, we have sex in public, and I was just kind of wondering, like, is that bad? I mean...
It's bad if you get caught.
So only if we get caught?
Well, I mean, it's bad if you expose people to it that don't want to see that kind of thing, or you expose kids to it. I mean, by caught, I mean seen. Now, the problem is that most people that do that kind of thing kind of want to be seen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just, like, I mean, it's fun because it's, like, risk-taking, but I don't...
You're both into this?
What's that?
You're both into this?
Yeah. We both enjoy it.
Do either of you have a history of a drug habit?
No.
Sure.
Yeah, well, we used to, but we kind of...
Well, that's when I ask if there's a history of a drug habit, that's what I mean. There's a history of a drug habit here, right?
Yes.
Both of you.
How does that figure in?
Because it's very common for people to have addiction histories, to have, let's say, sort of a burnout of their arousal system. That part of their brain that experiences arousal, both by virtue of the chronic exposure to whatever drugs they may have been doing, typically stimulants, and the fact that many addicts have trauma history, which also blunts the arousal response, need excessive levels of arousal in order to feel sexual, and one of those behaviors is sex in public places. So this is more about your addiction than anything else. I would bet that neither of you are in recovery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get yourself into recovery and get sort of rewired, let's say, because recovery is about changing how your brain functions. Ultimately, that's what recovery does. And people find that they can appreciate and enjoy things more fully, I don't want to say normally, but on a more normal scale once they do that. On the other hand, if your disease is active and you've had no treatment and you're just trying to white knuckle away from drugs and alcohol, you're going to try all kinds of arousing kinds of behaviors to trigger that same system.
So like replacing one habit with another.
It's basically. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but that's a good way to think of it. So how about you head on to some meetings and get a sponsor and work those steps. Sarah.
Hi.
Hey. You're on the air. Yes,
Drew?
Yes, ma'am. You're talking to me. You're talking to Jeff Ross.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I got my nipples pierced when I was in high school, and one of them I took out after this happened. The other one got torn out at a, doesn't matter where. But it's all.
Well, no, wait. Whoa. It actually does matter. What happened? It got torn out?
Yeah, I was in a mosh pit.
Oh, my God.
It hooked on to someone's something. I don't know what it hooked on to, but it tore out. And, you know, it healed up. It didn't need stitches or anything. But now my nipple is split, and
Oof.
There's scar tissue in the middle.
That is so awful. Would that just, I mean, your piece of the story that you think doesn't matter matters to us a great deal because we're just curious about it. I mean, was that just horribly painful?
You know, it was more shocking than painful. It hurt the next day a lot more.
You were drunk when it happened, right?
What?
You were drunk when it happened, right?
Oh, no. No. I was
how dare, Jeff, how dare you? I mean, a mosh pit.
What? Sorry.
How dare you?
I was straight edge back then.
You what?
I was straight edge back then. I didn't do drugs, didn't drink, didn't have sex.
But now, of course, that's different.
Yeah, then I went to college. But after that happened, I took the other one out, so it couldn't happen again. But I'm wondering now, because I'm trying to get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, am I going to be able to breastfeed from that nipple? Because there's scar tissue through the center of it.
I suppose some of it some of it is determined by how scarred up things are. I have definitely seen situations where there has been a nipple piercing pulled out where there is still the capacity to breastfeed. I have seen women remove the piercings and still there be, again, a fair amount of scar tissue and a large piercing hole that remains behind, still able to breastfeed. So I can't say that you wouldn't be able to. I always just worry that, my goodness, this is already a difficult enough behavior. You know, this is not something that automatically happens. I know it's natural and it should happen and it needs to happen. It's something women and babies need to learn how to do. And anything you put in the way of that or handicap that, that's not good. It's not good.
Yeah. It's like I hadn't given much thought to it before now, but, you know, now that I'm reading all the baby books and stuff,
yeah.
I'm reading exactly that it is a process. And, you know, some women it just, you know, doesn't take, and I'm just...
It's very difficult for most women and most babies. It's really, that's why they have breast coaches and breast, you know, feeding coaches and educators, and it's a whole thing. I would check in with some of them. Go to maybe one of your local hospitals and talk to one of these folks that educates on breastfeeding. They must have had experience with this because God knows this is such a common thing these days that, you know, there must be some knowledge about this, some experience with that out there. I certainly have heard about it. I've seen situations. I don't have a lot of experience with it. Rick?
Yes.
Hey, you're on with Jeff Ross.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi there.
So I have a question. Like, it's more of a health question because, like, I was having intercourse with my girlfriend. And I was giving her oral, and then she squirted, and the fluids, like, got in my eye. And this happened, like, just 2 days ago. And now my eye is just, like, so pink and puffy and red still.
Nice. Nice.
That was an old Three Stooges episode.
I think it was Brito he got in his eye, though, at the time. I think it was something a little different. I think it was Brito. I really do. Well, that's a pretty good reference, wasn't it, Jeff?
That was great.
If you're a Stooges fan.
Why, certainly.
Brido. Rick, here's the deal. You can get what's called conjunctivitis, which is just like pink eye or an eye infection, both from the chemical irritation of what went in there and also from bacteria. And there's a classic eye infection you can get from chlamydia. So that's the one thing you want to make sure she doesn't have because that can be kind of serious. So I would go to the doctor. I would tell him what happened. I wouldn't get in any detail. But he or she will be well-equipped to handle it. Do not freak out about it. We hear it all. It's
all
not
right.
Just me that gets to hear it all.
Yeah, because I haven't even been seeing this girl for very long even. Like.
So you don't know what might be going on.
I don't know what's down there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the pretty simple thing to treat you for, frankly, and there's good eye drops for that kind of thing now. But get in there tomorrow, and if you have trouble during the night, you might have to go into the emergency room. But I wouldn't rush out right this second, necessarily. In the meantime, you want to just use some hot compresses, hot towels. My goodness. Lisa.
Hi.
Hey there. You want Jeff Ross.
All right. Well, I'm seeing a guy,
And at the same time, I have a friend with benefits. That's another person that's been going on for like 2 years.
So you got a friend with benefits, and is that a guy you've fallen in love with, and he has maintained the friend distance, or has it been mutual that it's a friend with benefits?
It's been very mutual that it's just friends, and that's all. I'd never would see a relationship with this guy ever.
Even if he wanted one.
Yeah, even if you wanted one.
Okay.
It's just, the both of us never do that. Though we just have like an attraction to one another.
And in the meantime, you started dating a good guy, another guy.
This happened like 2 years ago. It's when I met him, and then I met somebody else, and I started a relationship with that person, and then I didn't see my friend with benefits for like a year until recently.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm seeing him again, and like it happens once in a while, and now I'm seeing another guy who I really like, and things kind of working out. I've been seeing him for like a month, but I keep having to like come back and answer questions about, oh, I have this other friend, and like it keeps interrupting, and I just don't know whether it's healthy to have that around.
I'm still a little confused about it. Tell me exactly what's happened with the new relationship. How many times have you seen the guy? Are you sleeping with him? What's going on?
The new relationship, it's just been going on for like a month, and we're both just taking it really slow. And I really like him, though at the same time, because I'm not committed to him, I feel like it's okay to, like, kind of stray away and, like, see my other friend.
Believe me, he's doing the same thing.
Yeah. So that's what I'm
thinking. I know you don't like to think about that, but I guarantee you that's happening.
Oh, you mean the guy that I'm seeing now?
Yep.
I really don't think so. I mean, he's seen somebody before me, though, but he's kind of, we're both very, like, homebodies, and we really kind of just, now that we're seeing one another, are kind of like going out a lot more, and he wasn't seeing anybody before me, really. So, and I just smell
trouble for you. But go ahead, keep going.
Deserves a reason like he would, and nor do I. I don't know. I mean, it's just been going on for a month, so I'm not taking things too seriously.
Right, that's fine. That's fine.
But what I'm concerned about is that I keep going back to this other guy.
Biggest problem with the friends with benefit is that it's going to handicap you. It's going to the eye of the tiger ain't going to be there. It's going to make it easy for you to let something more substantial go, because the more substantial relationships are harder to forge, and they're maybe painful. And oh well, this comfortable thing's over here is always there, so I'll just retreat to that. That's the biggest concern I have with it. I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I don't think the guy can blame you because you're not committed to each other. You're free game. Do what you please. But I can pretty much promise you he's doing the same thing. If he weren't, he'd be coming in a little more strongly.
Okay. So then I should just totally not even bother then.
Bother with what?
Continue with my relationship with my friend and then...
No, bother. You're making my point for me, which is that the fact that you've got that comfortable thing there is going to make you... lose this thing that is more substantial.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work at this one, but don't be surprised that this guy's doing the same thing, and you may have to really, you know, sort of take risks in order to get this relationship going.
Okay.
All right.
A leap of faith,
as Kierkegaard would say. Yes, exactly. Yes, Mr. Kierkegaard. That's perfect. This is Ashley.
Yes.
Hi, Ashley. You're on with Jeff Ross.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I'm a little. Anyways, I have two questions that I have for you.
How many questions do you have for us?
I have two questions.
Okay.
Okay, I'll go ahead and go with the first one. Lately, ever since my ex-boyfriend dumped me about 4 months ago, I've been only hooking up with guys that have girlfriends. And I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, normally that's something I would care about, like, when a guy has a girlfriend, I'm like, oh, off limits, not going for that guy. But like,
well, if you had to imagine why, after having had a bad breakup, you might be going out with the guys who have girlfriends, what might you speculate that reason would be?
Give me a guess.
If you had to guess,
I know you feel guilty
and you don't feel right about it. But what do you think feels good about it?
I just like the guy is like the honest truth. Like,
yeah, but why the ones? Why do they always have to have a girlfriend?
I don't know. Like, I keep going for him, and then I
give me a guess. I'm asking for a guess. Okay. Why do you think that would feel good to you?
Because I want to hurt the person. That's
maybe,
the girl, maybe,
maybe, maybe you want misery loves company. What else?
Maybe I like need some like security or something. Like, so
how would being with a guy that already has a girlfriend make you secure?
because they like me. I don't know.
Right, they like you more than this other girl, which makes you feel special. What else?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like,
when you broke, I know you don't. When you listen, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm trying to make you think. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad either, but you need to think about these things. When the guy that just broke up with you, did he cheat?
No.
He didn't cheat?
No. Like, I moved.
Does he have another girlfriend now?
No.
Okay. Well, here's one of the biggest things you get out of it, is you have guys that are into you that make you feel special and diminish somebody else. It's sort of envy, isn't it? This guy's got this thing. I don't have it, but when I get it, I diminish her. It makes me feel better about myself. And this relationship really can't go anywhere anyway because he already has a girlfriend. So I feel safe. I can't be vulnerable. I don't have to even invest anything because I know this is going nowhere. Perfect. I won't get hurt.
But I keep, like, actually, like, liking these guys. Like,
yeah, but you still know you can't get anywhere with them.
Yeah. And I keep, like, hurting myself over and over.
And by the way, well, if you were to get one of these guys, you'd break it off anyway.
I would?
Yeah, if one of these guys were to leave his girlfriend and get on with you, you'd sabotage that.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. And the other thing, the amazing thing that people do, Jeff, this is one of the extraordinary things about human beings, is when they've truly been traumatized, they will go out and they'll repeat, they'll find situations that repeat that circumstance over and over again. When women get raped, they suddenly become very sexually active. You know, when people have a near-death experience, they'll go out and live life. That's the thought they're having. I'm now going to live life. And they end up getting another near-death experience. they do. It's incredible. People will reenact the circumstances of trauma over and over again. Not always. It's always the case if the trauma is in a childhood. They'll do it now forever. But it happens a lot even in young adulthood. Again, rape being the most common experience of that. And here, this is, again, what you're doing, which is, this guy was unavailable to me. He broke my heart. So I'm going to reenact that over and over and over again with unavailable guys. Perfect. Yeah. You've done it. Now, let's get on with life a little bit here. Let's stop.
Well, why do people do that, Doc?
It's called repetition compulsion. It's been talked about ever since Freud. It's some neurobiological mechanism that no one has really, truly, adequately explained. There's all kinds of little theories, but no proof about it. All I know is that I deal with it and hear about it all the time. It's extraordinary. Extraordinary.
The first time it happened, I didn't say he had a girlfriend. Like, he lied to me.
But listen, that's the uncanny thing about this. You find people to reenact your trauma even when they claim to be something different or they look like something different. You still manage to find your way into a reenactment. It's incredible. We're uncanny as humans that way.
So
you've done it.
That was my second question now.
Please.
Okay. A long time ago, I was watching TV. Like, I must have been 10 or something. And I was watching something I know I probably shouldn't have been watching. And there's these people who are into having sex while they're wearing, like, fur suits.
Right. What are they called? Furbies or something?
Oh, you know. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we've actually talked to some of them over the years on this show.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, right when I saw it, I knew that was, like, thing I'd be into. Like, and I've always had this, like, in my mind. And every time I tell somebody about it, they think I'm weird, like I want to have sex with animals.
No, I don't understand what it is. There's a whole underground world of it. They have parties and things.
Really?
Check it out on check it out online.
Fur coats?
They dress up more like Smurfs
bunny or something. That's
It's like sex with mascots from Disneyland or Universal Studios or something. And it's pretty weird, and I don't know what to make of it. It's fairly underground, so I never really get to interview these people and find out what their common heritages are. But Ashley, probably safer and better than what you've been doing with these other guys.
Do you think that's weird? That I
perfectly normal, perfectly natural. I mean, who doesn't have sex in a bunny outfit? I mean, what are you talking about? I don't understand. What is the question?
I'm trying to get my friend to do it with me just so I can.
Yeah, well, he must be very close-minded. He's not a very open person. That's all. He's just very rigid. And, what?
No, it's a girl because she has this thing that she likes me to do for her that's kind of odd, and I do
What's
it
that?
For her.
What is that?
She likes me to, like, hold her down and bite her nipples as hard as I can, like, bite them and then scratch her if I can. And I'm a little, like, I'm
Ashley,
really into that. Like,
yeah, except you didn't include in your discussion about your past that you had a sexual abuse history, by the way.
Who, let's me? Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I don't, actually.
Something, physical abuse?
Yeah. I had an ex-boyfriend that... Well, no, if you count a 17 or 18-year-old having sex with a 14-year-old, then that might be construed as sexual abuse.
That's the beginning.
I kind of look back on it now and think I was.
It's close. What was going on in your household that you needed to go do that? What was happening in your family of origin?
I always had a really close family, and then around the time I was, like, 13, 14, my mom started working a lot, and we kind of just, like, didn't see each other all that much, and then I met this guy. I was, like, 14, and he was 18.
They never hit you growing up? You still seem like a physical abuse survivor.
No, like, my parents, like, I had, like, a really great family. Like, my parents are great, but...
I'm not saying they're not great people. They never picked up an object and hit you?
No, I can honestly say my parents never hit me once.
Okay.
Not even once.
All right. So it was just the abandonment. I know. I understand. I get it that it all happened around there, but I'm wondering why you set that up. And you're saying it's because of your mom abandoning you, basically. Right?
I felt a little abandoned, I guess, by her. So.
Not a little. A lot. A lot, right?
Yeah.
All right, but Ashley.
I don't
you
know
have
why
the
I chose that guy, because it was just, you know.
Well,
I don't know.
Look. More than we can get into in the few moments we have here, but here's something I want you to know about yourself. You have the potential to be healthy, Ashley. You have that potential, emotionally.
Okay.
Please, don't go down the Furby path. Don't go down the abusive boyfriend path. Don't go down the unavailable guy with the boyfriend and the wife, the girlfriend and the wife. Go out there and have real relationships and keep the sex on hold till much later and develop those relationships with genuine people, and start there, okay?
Okay.
You can do that. You don't have to hold your girlfriends down and bite their nipples. You don't have to do all that stuff. You have,
yeah,
you can put you.
Uncomfortable.
All this stuff must be uncomfortable to you, because you could be healthy. Let's go ahead and behave as if. I think you'll feel a lot better. Jeff Ross in here with us tonight. The new show is called Where Are My Dogs At? It's on MTV Friday night, 10 o'clock. He and Tracy Morgan. What kind of dog is Tracy Morgan?
He plays a fat bulldog.
Nice.
Woof. Louis Vuitton collar, gold tooth.
Nice. Oh, he's spoiled.
Street dog. He's into canine supremacy.
I see. So is it a faux Louis Vuitton?
Well,
I mean,
you know.
He bought it in the street kind of thing? Or is he
he's got it on there from his last owner, and he escaped. I'm trying to find my owner. He's trying to stay away from his owner.
Right. Got it. And then Patriot Act, DVD, July 11th. Can I find it anywhere right now other than the DVD coming out in a couple weeks?
It comes out in a couple weeks. You can go to my MySpace page, Jeffrey Ross Live at MySpace, and you can probably get on a pre-order list for July 11th.
Also check out jeffrey-ross.com, where you can see this stuff, and you can see footage or at least pictures of Jeffrey Ross in the Iraqi Sunni Triangle. This is the stuff that the legend is made of. Just the fact that I'm saying those words is like a legend to me.
I sat in Saddam's throne.
Did you really?
I had a Rosh Hashanah meal with a dozen Jewish soldiers in Saddam's hometown, Crete.
Nice.
In his palace.
It really must have been life-changing, that whole thing.
It really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Most importantly, the job description of being a comedian, Doc.
Oh, really?
I feel much more proud of what I am.
Really?
By going
nice.
On that trip. Yeah.
That's excellent. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. More Jeff, more Drew, more you after this. That's right. Jeff Ross on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. MTV, Friday nights at 10. Where My Dog's At? More you, more us. Here is, I'm going to get right to this, Jeff. This is Dawn, who's going to really clue us into this whole Furby thing. Dawn?
Cool.
Yeah.
Hi, how's it going? Love you, Drew. Love your show. I've been listening to you for probably about 10 years now.
Wow. In Kansas City. Wow.
Well, not in Kansas City. I lived in Pasadena for a long time.
Ah, that's where I've been. We're doing Loveline. Loveline started in Pasadena in 1983.
Wow.
Yes. Crazy, right?
Shortly after
that's
I was born.
A big achievement.
Thank you.
Big achievement.
Thank you. Yeah, shortly after, you missed what Don just said, shortly after he was born. Nice. So what's going on?
It's called furry.
Spurries?
Furries. And that's
furries.
The cosplay part where you dress up in a costume as an animal. I'm not into this. I just know of it.
but there's this whole like genre of anthropomorphism that is extremely popular in little circles. There's like anthropomorphic like drawings, like pornographic drawings of anthropomorphized, you know, like a dog or a cat that's got human female features or male features, and it's actually very, very, I don't want to say common, but you it's easily found.
Jeff, this could be a new MTV series for you. Really?
This is good.
Described it, you haven't enlightened me.
I'm sorry?
You've described it, you haven't really enlightened me. Who are the people that do this? What do they get out of it? Well, where do they convene? Where can someone find out more about it?
Fans of the Flaming Lips. They always come out, like hundreds of them dressed like this, right?
Right, right.
Well, from my understanding, and I haven't done a whole lot of research, but the cosplay section where we actually dress up as an animal is, I think, more oriented towards the gay community, where a lot of gay men will dress up and have sex with each other as these animals. And I don't know if it's a method of anonymity,
huh,
where, you know, I can be out of the closet, but, you know,
nobody knows.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you, you could search on the internet for, like, Yiffy. I don't know what that stands for, but I know, like, Yipster, Yiffart type stuff.
How do you spell that?
Y-I-F-F-Y.
And that's the guys that, these are people that dress up like.
That's like the little community. You can look around.
I'm curious where they get the costumes, and then who cleans the costumes, and do they know how the costumes are being used? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, this is
such
a common thing. Are there businesses that supply these guys? Is there a dry cleaning bill that comes with it? How's this work? Do you keep your own in a closet or a safe deposit box somewhere? I mean, how's this work? And what about the big heads? The big bunny heads and stuff.
Yeah, you expect to find these guys at a theme park or something, but
right.
I'm not 100% sure. I can imagine that you can buy these like at adult stores, perhaps.
Oh my
god!
Maybe
some people will go as far as making their own because maybe they want to be like a chinchilla or something instead of like a dog or a cat or something. You know,
chinchilla. The waste.
My girlfriend's a grown woman and she sleeps with a teddy bear. I wonder if she has tendencies.
Ooh.
We're going to experiment.
All right, Don. Well, thanks for enlightening us. And no websites or anything to refer people to, though, right?
I think it's
jeffrey-ross.com.
Jeffrey.ross or the MySpace Jeffrey Ross.
Art.com might be a place you can start looking for some of it. If you're
Say it again. What is it?
YIFART, YIFART.
You know an awful lot about this, Don, for somebody that doesn't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it.
It's just your friend. Your friend's into it. Okay.
It's for me. Not for me, it's for my friend.
Okay. All right, Don. Thanks for the call.
Hey.
All right. This now is Kay. Kay, I'm kind of concerned about. Kay, what's happening? Hey, Kay, what's happening?
Okay. So, I've been on laxatives for like a year or so. And I've never had any side effects or anything. It's just sort of, you know, obvious. And then, like, the other day, it's really awkward, but I mean, like a little bit of blood came out, and I know that's what it's from. But I wanted to know like more long-term effects and stuff.
Okay,
like
chronic use of laxatives is bulimia. It is severe bulimia and dangerous bulimia. Bulimia has about a 20% fatality rate. How do you figure it is, okay, that laxative caused you to lose weight? How does it do that? What do you think's happening?
It just gets stuff out of your body.
No, it doesn't at all. All it does is hold water in your stool as it goes through your colon, so it comes out as diarrhea. It has nothing to do with absorption or what goes through your body or how your body digests food. It just affects how your colon handles water, so the water doesn't come out of the stool. All the colon does is absorb water from your stool. Laxative hold the water outside the colon so it comes out as diarrhea. That's it. That's all laxative does. So it's not doing any, the reason you lose weight from the laxative is that you're chronically dehydrated, and as a result of the chronic stress your body's under, your metabolism is stressed, and you don't utilize things the way you would otherwise, and your metabolic demands are up, and you lose weight as a result of chronic dehydration, which puts profound stress on your kidneys. You can get kidney failure, You can have sudden heart attack, heart arrest, where your heart stops suddenly from the electrolyte imbalances associated with that. When you stop using laxatives, stop using them for a week. Have you tried that ever?
Have I stopped and done what for a week?
Have you tried stopping them for a week?
Not really.
Go for a week. Your legs will swell up like you won't believe because your kidneys are not normal, and they're so busily trying to compensate for the chronic dehydration by hanging on to sodium and water. When you let the laxative stop, the kidneys continue to do that, and your body accumulates fluid, and it's a rather serious thing that needs to be monitored by a doctor. You can get some rather serious problems when you stop. Bulimia is a life-threatening condition. You need to be monitored. You need to be treated. You got it?
Yes. What if I drink lots of water, though?
With nothing. This will not affect it. This is a life-threatening condition you have. You're kidding yourself if you think you found a way to lose weight. It's very dangerous. Kayla, I've had many patients die of this. It's a bad thing.
You're saving lives tonight, Doc.
I'm trying. Kayla.
Great.
Hi.
What's happening?
Okay. All right, so I've been with my boyfriend for about 6 months now.
Hey, Kayla, I have to interrupt you for one quick second because on the line, Mark is a furry. Mark?
Yeah.
You're a furry?
I am.
God bless you.
What's your animal?
It's a fox, actually.
A fox?
I don't dress up. I've not been to any of the conventions or anything.
Conventions? Conventions? Well, you say that as though we knew there were conventions. What do you mean they're conventions?
There are conventions, just like...
Where?
My convention. I don't know where they are. The biggest one, I think, is called AnthroCon. It has a website, anthrocon.com, so you can look that up if you want to. I've never been to any of them. I've never been interested to go to them because, and this is going to sound weird that since I've just admitted to being a furry, but I think that 95% of furries are flat out insane.
What are the other 5%?
Relatively normal, just with a weird fetish.
And where do you think it comes from?
I honestly have no idea. I just started probably around when I was 16, and I was just on the internet, came across this, found out I liked it, just went from there.
And what is it you do now? How do you engage in your furry activities?
Mostly just go to websites, look at art, read stories, stuff like that. I try not to actually interact with any people because, like I said, most of them are flat out insane.
Do you have normal relationships?
Yeah.
Are you gay, straight? What do you consider yourself?
I'm straight.
Okay. And do your girlfriends know about this activity?
If I get comfortable with them, have them in a relationship for a while, and I think it's going somewhere, I'll let them know.
Do you adopt the persona of a fox? Are you aggressive?
No. It's just kind of like a pretend thing. It's fun. You don't really, like, become the animal. Well, some people do. I mean, there's varying levels of it. I mean, there's, like, the normal, relatively normal person that likes the art, likes the stories, and there's the people that think it's, that take it to the next level where it's, like, sexual.
Well, what are the stories about?
If you go to the website yifstar.com, they're all a bunch of erotic furry stories.
I mean, is Little Red Riding Hood an erotic story to you?
No, this is like actual pornography.
Every time, you know, Mark, it's so funny. Every time you express your righteous indignation, I think like, well, what? You're telling me you dress up like a fox. I don't know. You're like, I'm for Little Red Riding Hood. How dare you? I don't know. Mark, it's so funny. Right, so what are the arousing stories about?
Just Halloween.
Sex.
Yeah, I mean, nothing about dressing up like a fox has anything to do with sex in my world. I'm sorry, maybe I'm weird, but how does the sex even get into it?
I don't know. Just look at some of the stories if you're that curious, because I don't really know how.
I can't really explain it.
Are you curious? You're going to be all over that tonight.
You know, yeah, I got nothing but time. I'll tell you, what I am interested in is the human being. And, boy, this is an area that I don't fully have my head around, and so I am interested. And can you associate it with any sort of childhood experiences or, you know, events or dreams or, you know, moments that you got attached to this?
No.
It doesn't associate with anything, and there's nothing about you. And by the way, how do the girls take this when you do finally tell them about this? Or is this how you break up?
Some have been okay with it. Some freaked out. And it varies.
The ones that have been okay, do they read the stories with you and that sort of thing?
I try not to get them involved with it if they don't want to.
But you said they're ones. Wait, the ones that were okay with it. You're kind of evasive, Mark. The ones that are okay with it, do they read the stories with you? Do they get into it with you?
I've not found anyone that has wanted to get into it with me. But
okay.
They're like,
all right.
Okay, with
so,
that I have that part of me, you know?
All right. They just let it go. They let it ride. All right. Are the furries mostly guys?
From what I've seen, yeah.
Are they mostly gay guys?
A lot of it does seem to be gay. I mean, the majority of the things that I've seen has been, gay.
No, Drew. But straight guys in a bunny costume.
It makes perfect. Listen, Jeff. Yeah. I got a sidebar here. None of this makes any sense. So it could be anything as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, you've been in the Sunni Triangle. I'm here in the mean streets of Loveline trying to figure out what people are doing when they're dressing up like foxes and having sex. I mean, you know.
I dressed up like a bunny to infiltrate the terrorists.
I imagine. By the way, if any of them are listening, they're planning their next attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is what drives them to that. So
a man dressed as a bunny blew himself up at a Flaming Lips concert.
No, I don't think it's just a man blew himself up because of the bunny.
Hmm.
I'm sorry to say it, but our job is to understand, not to judge. Cannot judge. And really, that's the thing. It's an expression of the human being, and to understand it, not just to sit and go, oh, my God, people are fill in the blank. It's to understand from whence this comes is really what's more interesting about humans.
I think the fox is a misconception. The only time I've seen this in action, honestly, is at music festivals. The Flaming Lips, when they come out, this band, they usually have fans up to 50 of them come out in different costumes for the opening of the, and they bounce balls, giant
balls.
There you go. They hug, and they sort of kiss, and it's all sort of very innocent and loving and almost like hippie-ish.
Look, it might be great. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. I find it confusing, and I'd like to understand. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Suddenly we have a bunch of experts calling in on furries, so we're going to take more of that. Kayla, I'm sorry to have interrupted you when you were telling the story about your boyfriend in the strip club. I will get back to you, I promise, but right now we're going to take a little break. Be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Jeff Ross. His show is on MTV at 10 o'clock. Where are my dogs at?
Friday night.
Right? Or did I not say Friday night? I just said MTV at 10 o'clock, huh?
We're just finding our way, Drew. We've got to get all the... I appreciate all the plugs tonight.
My pleasure. Listen.
You're the best. This is fun. This is really cool. You really help people.
Well, I try. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, try to have a little fun and try to help people. And I'm actually really... I'm so interested in humans, and I'm curious about this whole furry thing. We're making fun of it because it's sort of an easy target, but I'm interested. So Mike's
going to... It's like an eyes wide shut thing, you know? The anonymity.
Right. All since the Venetian times, people have been doing this. Mike, what's up?
That's pretty much it.
Hey, really?
Dr. Drew, talking about being old, I've been listening to you from the beginning.
Really?
1983, when you did 4 hours a night.
Oh, my God, you remember that.
And
I didn't know that anyone was still alive that remembers that.
Yeah, Manuel from Fountain Valley, he's 14. And
wow.
So
wow.
It's been a long time. I worked at a high school for several years and in a special ed capacity, but apart from that, I did some coaching on the school teams. A student came up to me and heard that I was someone that could be trusted and talked to, and he admitted to me that he was a furry, and he explained the whole thing to me. And he had
wow.
a portfolio of everything, and he started with they're not characters, they're fursonas.
Huh.
So they adopt these fursonas that are based on their personalities. And this student actually was a really good artist, and these people commissioned him to create these fursonas based on their descriptions of themselves.
What's the again, with everything with humans, I need to know, what's the motivation?
The motivation was they are trauma survivors, dissociative.
Oh, interesting.
So they're really self-loathing. This kid, physical and emotional abuse. Father is an alcoholic.
Okay, got it.
Got to the point where, you know, he said some of the people can't even orgasm unless they're wearing their, unless they are in their fursona.
What do you think? What is it? And I do with a lot of trauma survivors, obviously. What is it about this particular? Is it something they sort of, what we call cathect? They're watching cartoons when they're kids, and it's the only positive relationship they have, or something.
I think that's part of it. But for him, he said the most important thing was that he wasn't himself. He was someone else. Therefore, he could feel good about himself because he really had a poor self-esteem. I would call it self-loathing.
Yeah, I get it. But Mike, I'm gonna put you on hold real quick. I got to quickly tell Kayla. Kayla?
Hello.
Hi, listen, can we take you up first tomorrow night?
Of course you can.
Okay, screeners, please get her phone number. I'd like to talk to Mike some more, too, if possible. Get your phone numbers. I'm sorry, Kayla, we didn't get to you tonight. We have to take a break. Be right back. That about does it for another Love Line. Jeff Ross, thank you so much for joining us, as always. You there?
Total blast, Drew. Really fun.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming in. And look for the DVD on July 11th. Name of it is?
Patriot Act, a Jeffrey Ross home movie.
Sounds not
shot on a $600 video camera.
I mean, Jeff in the Sunni Triangle. I mean, just something that must be beheld. I mean, just one of those things. And if those of you that have been roasted by Jeff would like a little payback, I'd suggest you pick up that DVD as well. Anyway, the MTV show is Where Are My Dogs At? It's Friday night, 10 o'clock. Jeff and Tracy Morgan, not to be missed as well. And again, Jeff, hope you come back soon.
It was really fun, Drew. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Good to see you. See you again soon, I hope.
Yep.
All right, the rest of you, good night. Stay well.